minutes ago. Looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 577. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and rum tours, caves and sea turtles, flying fish, and crop over as we go to the island of Barbados. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Things are getting busy in the Christensen household, but with a number of trips coming up, as well as a new contract for work with Time Out London, which should be interesting. More trips to London in my future, it seems. I need to order tour t-shirts for India. And with all that going on, let's talk about a tropical vacation. I'd like to welcome to the show Jane and Duncan from 2travel2.com. That's TOTravelTWO.com. And we're going to talk today about Barbados. Jane and Duncan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
So why are we talking about Barbados?
Well, Barbados, we've just come out the back of a 3 months day assignment in Barbados, and we've got relevant content. We've got Living Like a Local. We've got itineraries which range from sort of 1 week, 2 weeks, and to 3 months. It's timely now, and you know, notwithstanding that the Barbados itself is just, or that whole region has just gone through an absolutely devastating hurricanes, etc., it still makes it very relevant as a travel destination. I think it's important to emphasize that factor. So here we are.
Excellent. Well, and we have done one other show on Barbados. It was episode 109, so that would probably put it in early 2008, and I suspect some things have changed since then.
What's really interesting about that is that in actual fact, we have actually listened to the content. In fact, we kind of used it for part of our own assessments when we went into Barbados. And like all these things, yes, things do change, but nevertheless, the relevance of why Barbados is a destination still prevails. Yeah.
Well, and why should we go to Barbados? Why did you go spend 3 months there?
Well, we went there, interesting enough, because we actually had a house-sitting assignment. But prior to that, in different lives, Jane and I have actually managed to visit the Caribbean area over different times. So we visited Nassau, we've been to
Puerto Rico, we've been to St. Martin.
Bermuda.
I've been to Bermuda.
Yeah.
And so it was time to sort of do Barbados. And when the opportunity came up to house it for 3 months, it was a good opportunity to take that and just to sort of live like a local and to enjoy an island for that length of time.
Okay. And why should someone else come?
Well, you should really come because at the end of the day, what it really boiled down to is the essence of it's a unique experience. And it bubbled down to the people. It bubbled down to the beaches, the lifestyle, the food. But the underlying factor that we found was it was the culture. It was the smiles. It was the Bayesian experience. And when you went away from that, it's just an amazing place to go and visit. The hospitality is amazing. It's not the most infrastructure-wise 21st century in place. It's still very raw in places. But that's the beauty of the Bayesian and in particular Barbadians. So it's definitely a top destination to consider.
Okay. What kind of itinerary would you recommend for somebody who has, say, a week to come to Barbados instead of 3 months?
I think because we were there for 3 months, we got had opportunity to try out a lot of tour operators and different tours, etc. Mm-hmm. But the one that really sticks in our minds, and which was one of the most, I think, Bayesian experience, is a company called Licorice Walking Food Tours around Bridgetown.
Okay.
And it's all done online.
Bridgetown, the capital.
Yep. And the two owners, one's a doctor and one works in hospitality, and they operate this tour daily. And it's a local, and for 3 hours you walk around Bridgetown and you get to taste local food in local restaurants and markets that you would never even thought of going into. For example, the first one was we tasted the Bayesian meat rolls. Then we went off to another restaurant and there was the local cheeses and the local breads, and then you could get the local food. And then into a market, which was not the main market of Bridgetown, to taste sorrel juice. Now, sorrel juice, we're so Australian and English, and sorrel juice to us would be sort of green, sort of leafy vegetable, but it was a red juice that was made by a local Bayesian, and that the health benefits were just incredible. It sort of cured everything. Then into another restaurant where we actually had a chance to taste the local dish, which was the local national dish, which is the flying fish in the cuckoo. And it was cooked perfectly. By this stage, it was quite full, and so thank God we're doing a walking tour. We walked past this place, and if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't give it a second glance. But it was an old garage with a pop-up truck, and it was selling the most delicious fish cakes, which is the most famous food as well, is from the flying fish in Barbados. And the fish cakes were just to die for. And then I think we ended up with another meal. So it was just the 3 hours of eating, learning the history, going down little side streets that you probably would never have walked into. And it was an amazing experience. And that's definitely a highlight we would actually recommend for everybody to do.
Yeah. But the beauty of that is that Bridgetown itself is, to be honest with you, a bit scruffy, but it's the centerpiece, really, for Barbados from a historical perspective. So it's very important to be able to go there and understand all those layers and layers and layers of history. So the guides there give you a great opportunity to be able to get an understanding. So we'd recommend it. Do that early if you're into that type of stuff, but also it gives you a great opportunity to taste, get a sense of the history as well.
Find out where to go back to also definitely. Later in the week, potentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely.
Exactly.
And when you were talking about the tour, you mentioned a couple of things, but you mentioned them a little vaguely. You mentioned a market that we were going to that was not the main market, and then some restaurants where I was getting flying fish. Can we put some names on those?
Yes, we can. Now, the first restaurant where we actually walked into was upstairs, and it's called Tim's Restaurant.
Okay.
And it's in the main drag of Bridgetown, and
if we give people the name, I'm sure they can look it up, so we don't have to give them walking directions or anything.
The market for the sorrel juice is called Palmetto, which is spelled Palmetto, Palmetto Market in High Street.
Excellent. And we'll put links to those in the show notes as well as a link over to your blog post about this. Now, you started to go on to another experience that you particularly enjoyed.
The other experience is on a Saturday morning. It's in the middle of the island. And it seems to be more for the locals, but if a tourist wanted to do something different, it would be a taxi ride from wherever they're staying out to Brighton Market. Now, Brighton Market is in Brighton. You have to get there at 6 a.m. in the morning. And thank God Barbados' weather is really good and nice and warm and things. And it finishes about 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And it's full of local food, it's full of local artisans with really interesting craft that they make, and great coffee, great breakfast there.
Yeah, awesome food.
Awesome food. It's worth sort of getting out of bed at that time in the morning and heading out there and just grab a taxi.
So it's a great opportunity because it's not actually, like a tour that's taking you around.
Sure.
A lot of cruise companies come in and they get taken off to be taken around to markets to be shown products, whereas this is actually a local experience, local artisans, communicating between themselves, coming together as locals. And it's fascinating to look at what they've created from art products, but also the food products. And when you get a chance to talk to them and you just go back through their years of culture and history, you're going back to the 16th century in many aspects, very well committed to Barbados. And they can talk to you about the challenges that are faced in regards to the culture going forward as well. It's fascinating.
And when you talk about craft products, what kind of things are we talking about?
The one that really stands out in mind for me, there's a young lady who was creating her own fabrics for pillows and throws on beds and things. And they were the most vibrant colors I have ever seen, and the patterns.
Amazing.
And she was so passionate about her work. And she was, early 20s?
Yeah.
And she's actually now got to a stage where she's becoming quite famous and her products are actually being sold worldwide. But you wouldn't see those products anywhere else.
But it's certainly got the guys are doing the teas. You've got the local food, so amazing breads, amazing pastries. Mm-hmm. You've got people that are making products out of driftwood. You've got honeys. You've got local fabrics. You've got local designers, etc. It's a big potpourri, a mixture of artisans culminated in the food as well. So definitely a wonderful experience.
Excellent, excellent. Where to next? While we're in the capital, though, are there other things that you would recommend we see or do?
In the capital itself, just in Bridgetown, because it's the harbour there as well, we actually did Action Charters, which was a lunchtime catamaran cruise, where we actually got a chance to swim with the turtles in Carlisle Bay, which is just around the corner. And then we actually sailed up the west coast and had another snorkeling adventure on an old dive that was there, and also there's a reef. But what is interesting is that we actually moored the catamaran for lunch right on one of the most expensive and exclusive beaches in Barbados, which is the Sandy Bay Hotel.
Okay.
Now, the Sandy Bay Hotel is the hotel that the likes of Simon Cowell, Rhiannon, anybody who's famous actually stays there. But what is interesting, you could actually be sunbathing beside famous people because no one owns the beaches in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just pull up, go and lay on the beach and turn around and there's Simon Cowell sitting beside you. So and it's such a beautiful...
The X Factor.
The X Factor. It's such a beautiful area of Barbados. And it was sort of stunning just to sort of sit there and have the lunch, and you've got the whole of the Sandy Bay Hotel in front of you and its beaches.
Now, other places that I know, like Hawaii, for instance, that have the same sort of rules that all the beaches belong to everybody, also make sure that there is an access even through the swankiest hotel to get to the beach because the beach is public. Is that also true in Barbados?
Yeah, very much true. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it has over the time got congested and there has been, you know, I guess, certain layers of it, but absolutely. And that's the real beauty of it. So when you get a chance to either take the local transportation around or hire a car, you can, in fact, pull into these really, really amazing places and then get access to it. And you've got full access to the beach. And that's certainly something which we would encourage folks to do.
Well, and you mentioned that it has gotten congested. My picture of Barbados is not a desert island with no people on it. That we're talking about an island that is relatively well populated.
It's a highly populated, surprisingly congested, I mean, traffic jams for one, at one time when we were going to the top of the island to commence a tour around the island, which we can come on to a bit later. We had allocated an hour, and we kind of used to, you know, in Sydney, an hour traffic jam is big, and we needed 2 hours. Unfortunately, we got there kind of just in time. So there's a lot of cars on the road, and there's a lot of kind of congestion, but then it, like anything, it disappears, but then it comes back in the evening or it comes back early morning. So it's well worth considering just taking the local transportation, frankly, and that's kind of what we did in the end. Although we had access to a car, we in the end used local transportation or we took tours because they could actually manage their way through and they knew the side roads to be able to overcome.
Okay, sure.
The roads are quite, they're deteriorating.
They're poor.
As well. Yeah,
they're poor.
As the years go on, I think the government is sort of struggling with its economy, which means that the roads aren't being repaired and the cars were actually taking quite a hit. I wouldn't sort of be driving around the most expensive car in Barbados at the moment.
Well, and because we're talking about an island that it might be a little slow to get around, where we stay probably makes a bigger difference. So if we're not doing house sitting for somebody, as you went around the island, are there places that you would stay when you went back?
Yeah, it's really the west coast. The west coast has got the exclusive five-star hotels. And also the south and southeast, because that's where the nightlife is. That's where all the restaurants are. If you wanted to stay in a cottage away from all the nightlife and sort of out on your own, you would be sort of heading towards the east coast.
Okay.
Around about Bathsheba in that sort of area. But most of all the restaurants and all the places that you would actually visit to is definitely on that west coast. And it's a much calmer areas for the beaches as well, if that's what people are interested in, because the east coast can be really quite wild and they're not swimming beaches at all.
And when you say quite wild, we're quite wild in terms of the weather, not in terms of the nightlife. That for so the nightlife is quite wild on the west coast and the weather is quite wild on the east coast.
Correct.
Excellent. So in terms of, let's talk about nightlife and some of the West Coast there. What else would you recommend? What would you recommend for nightlife since we brought it up a couple times?
Okay, the nightlife really happens around St. Lawrence Gap. So that's where you've got your clubs and your restaurants and things. But the West Coast around St. James, they've got some really good restaurants up there. They've got Tides Restaurant, which is a sort of a top Mediterranean restaurant right on the ocean front, and it's stunning location, great food. You've got a great Indian restaurant up there. You've got the Lime Grove Shopping Centre, which has got all your high-class couture shops if you wanted to sort of shop in that area. Then as you sort of come down along the beach. You've got boardwalks where there's little restaurants off the side of them. One that springs to mind, which was one of our favorites, is a tapas restaurant. Stunning for sunsets in the evening, great food, great wine. And then as you come down further, you get into St. Lawrence Gap. And it's just packed full of wonderful food, bars, cafes. It really is the center of nightlife, isn't it?
Definitely.
And I'm assuming that you two are party till you drop nightlife kind of people.
No. Depends. You know, I think, okay, so to be completely honest with you, we're probably more happy hour, right? So
okay, all right. So I got you there.
If it's two for one and it's margaritas, which it is, and they have some amazing margaritas and happy hours. And so it was more about happy hour, enjoying great food, sunsets, and then getting onto the transport, getting home safely. And the other thing is that when you can get there for some of the festivals, if you arrive in Cropover, which was around
July, August,
which is the Cropover Festival, it's like Mardi Gras. It's kind of like it's not Rio de Janeiro by any means, but it's certainly full on for a whole month.
Oh, wow.
Just partying. So you're going to get wrapped up in it in anywhere. So we would encourage folks, if you really wanted to go for a party, go at the period of time for Cropover. That's when the Barbadians are absolutely partying to the nth degree.
Okay. Any tips if I'm there that time in terms of either saving money by where to stay or in terms of the one thing in that festival that you can't miss?
I think the thing you can't miss is Rihanna. So she'll be there most likely.
It's the last parade.
It's the last parade. And you can kind of get the tickets and you can get them. And it's then the whole party's down at the beaches. So all of the beaches down kind of near around the Bridgetown area where they actually open up extended areas is where the music is going to be occurring, where they do the final get-together of the celebrations of Cropover, where all of the costumes are all coming together. But there's lots of prior activities occurring. So, you know, some of them a bit more sedate, which possibly a bit more festival-orientated, but culminating at the end to this huge, massive musical festival of celebration, really. And the celebration is all about the food. It's all about the people, the partying, the colors, the tastes, the spices, all of that.
Okay, excellent. Any other festivals or time of year that is really great to be in Barbados that you can think of?
And there are the religious holidays, which, you know, you can kind of still follow. So in terms of any of the Catholicism, et cetera, so Christmas, Easter, et cetera, all very well supported. But that's really the main festival that we were aware of.
Okay. And then I looked it up because it seemed likely from the name that Cropover was a harvest festival, and it is indeed traditionally celebrating the successful sugarcane harvest. So, Absolutely. Although probably has much less to do with that now than it used to.
the new sugarcane, the new industry is tourism.
Right.
That's it, basically. I mean, you know, there is sugar, but a lot of it's imported or they're under huge competition. So the main crop for them is tourism.
Okay. Well, as long as we're talking about tourism, other sites that you would recommend that we see?
We did a couple of around the island tours. Mm-hmm. And another one that really sort of sticks out was the Harrison Cave tour. Mm-hmm. And it's probably, I guess you would say, it'd be the number one tour of Barbados. It's an opportunity to actually go underground on a train, basically. You have the driver of the train and you have a guide, and they take you for about 1.6 kilometers down this pathway. And the stalactites and the stalagmites are actually incredible, and it's well worth it. It's something that you don't sort of see too often. You normally sort of go into caves and you sort of walk around and you say, ooh, no, and you come back out again. But these were 45 minutes, little sort of waterfalls, and you're able to get off the train and have a walk around and just to experience that whole cave. Because the caves are sort of made out of the limestone, which the island is made out of. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. We really, really enjoyed that particular tour. And there's a lot of wildlife tours. We did the Harrison, the Welshman Gully tour, and it is a walk down a gully full of the local fauna and flora. And once again, if you get there at the right time, which most of the tour companies do plan that you get to see the feeding of the green monkeys. And the green monkeys are the famous Barbados animals. That was quite worth it.
It was amazing because it was very surreal. You see these things, necessarily you see the monkeys in the zoos, and you see them potentially in other parks. But this was an absolutely natural experience. Sure, the guides are coming and they know there's a feeding time, but it was amazing just to watch these kinds of tribes and packs of of monkeys in their own environment actually coming across. And you could hear them, you could see them, you could see them moving in the trees and then coming down and eating, and then they would wander off. And so when you're actually then exploring on your own and going through and looking at the fauna and the flora and the other animals, you could kind of know that you were being watched by this troop of monkeys who were then going off into another part of the nature park. It was amazing.
Interesting. I actually had not heard about the green monkeys of Barbados.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Wow.
What else is going to surprise me when I go to Barbados?
Really, is the beaches. The photos you see of Barbados is always about the beaches, but it's not until you actually get there, and especially when you have the opportunity to swim with the turtles, which is just basically off the beach. The waters are very, very clear. They're very, very warm. And along that southeast coast and south coast and west coast, one of our favorite, well, we actually had two favorite beaches. We had Miami Beach and we actually had Worthing Beach. Worthing Beach we used to go to sort of during the morning. You'd sort of rock up there and the tide would be out and you could walk for miles and the water was warm and turquoise blue. And then Miami Beach would be quite close to Oystons, which is famous for its fish fry on a Friday night. But Miami Beach, it was where the locals would be. So you go down there at 6 o'clock at night and they'd be all out there sort of singing and playing sports and having their kids around and having their dinner. And you just sit there and just watch the sunset. And it was just very, very peaceful. And it was just a stunning place to be.
Very non-touristy. So when you go down there, you'll literally be with Bajans and you'll be, and the kids will be playing around in evening in the waters. The sunset will be coming down. You grab a Banks beer. There's local food stores there who are selling not to the tourists, who are selling just to the local themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just kind of hear them going about their day, what's been happening. It's an amazing experience. And you get to really understand, if you get to chat to them something about their cultures and their family cultures as well. So the beaches, going back to your original question, certainly the beaches. We come from Australia and we think we've got some of the finest beaches in the world.
They're not shabby in Australia, yeah.
I know, yeah. They're not, you're right. But this is definitely... You know, this is definitely close. You won't be disappointed. If you're coming from the Northern Hemisphere and you're in the dank of winter and you've got an aspiration that you want to go to an island holiday in the Caribbean, Barbados, you get off that aircraft, you land, you put your bathies on, your shorts on, your bare feet, and you go there. The smile from the Bajans and then the waters and the color of the sand, unique.
Now, one of the things that reminds me, we're talking Caribbean, so we're talking a place that also gets visited by cruise ships. So I'm curious, two different things. One is, if you're on the cruise ship and you just have a few hours in town, where would you send someone? And two is, if you know the cruise ship's in town, where would you go to avoid it?
Well, I think that's a great thing, is because we're passionate about this, because we've been in places like, you know, Dubrovnik, where it's getting smashed at the moment with cruise ships.
Yeah.
So here, it's actually reasonably well managed. So you've got the kind of area around Bridgetown, just to the west of it, where the port area is.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge for the cruisers who are coming on a cruise is, can you get off and can you get back in time to be able to do a round the island tour?
Sure.
It's potential. So if it's offered to you on the cruise, we would suggest do it, because you'll get the opportunity for the landscape, you'll see the culture, you'll have the opportunity mm-hmm. to see the island.
Taste rum punch
and enjoy the food. And so
I wondered how long it would take us to get to the rum punch. So
we're definitely getting there, that's for sure.
Okay.
So I would recommend, or we would recommend, that if you got that, take an opportunity to be able to take the one that's offered, which would be around the island tour. It's kind of like 4 or 5 hours, and it gets you back in time for the cruise. The other one is, if you're not into that, is go and sign up for the Bridgetown, either the licorice tour, which you're talking about, or there's a walking tour, which is, in fact, there's a company called Jolly Roger who has a boat, but they also have an amazing walking tour, which takes people around the historical site. So there are folks that maybe are more interested in that. But absolutely, at the end of the day, the rum tour is definitely an opportunity. So, but with the cruises, it's all about time.
Mm-hmm.
The time it takes to get off, the time that it takes to get back on again.
Right.
So I would suggest that walking tour or around the island tour.
And you mentioned the historic sites, but we haven't talked about what historic sites there might be that people should see.
The Garrison, which is the Savannah, where they actually have a horse racing on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old military settlement. So there's a lot of guns and all that sort of stuff for people to sort of go and visit and to wander around. They do tours, but it depends on whether it's actually combined with Around the Island tour as well. Bridgetown itself has got some old warehouses which used to hold the sugarcane, etc. Mm-hmm. And they have got, in the middle of town, you've got the Nelson statue, you've got the oldest Jewish synagogue in the Caribbean there as well. But it's worth actually having someone to actually walk you through it and to explain the history of that particular area.
It's kind of a place that's so run down that even though it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, it is in this decay. And it's kind of not being necessarily managed in this decaying sense. So it's really worth your while getting someone who actually can take you around and give you the aspects of the island to see. So going into the Bridgetown Cathedral and getting to understand that the history associated with that, who's actually been buried in the cemetery. There'll be glimpses coming out about Napoleon and what Napoleon was actually doing in Barbados way back. Then that linking into the stories about kind of the slavery and the sugar business, it all starts to unfold. So in the end, you don't start to look at the decayness of Bridgetown. You start to get empathy for some of the stories that have actually built the town itself.
Okay. Other sites that we should see as we start thinking about wrapping this up?
Yeah, there's a plantation house in the middle of the island, and it is actually called the Sunbury Plantation House in the middle of the island. And it was one of the major sugarcane plantations. And one of the tourists actually stopped in there for lunch. And the lunch was a lovely buffet lunch, which was the local fruit and vegetables and fish and things. But they did actually take you for a tour around the actual house itself. So you've still got the old carriages in there. You've still got the old bedrooms with the antique furniture. And they give you a bit of history of the house. There's only one or two plantation houses left. So it is definitely well worth a sort of visit just to get the feel of what it used to be like all those hundreds of years ago. And then our famous Mount Gay rum tour. You have to mention rum if you mention Barbados. It's definitely well worth it. And if you're on a cruise ship, you could actually fit that in perfectly for lunch. And what we would recommend on that one is do the rum food pairing tour. So you actually have the history of the rum in Barbados first. And, of course, you have, you know, start off with a rum punch and then you taste the three rums that Mount Gay is actually famous for. But once that finishes, they take you to the restaurant and then you have the food cooked in front of you. So you've got three dishes. So we were thinking tasting tour would be only quite small portions, but it's not. It's basically a full three-course meal. And they're cooking with rum. They're showing you how to put together local Caribbean dishes. And they're also creating signature rum cocktails to go with each of the dishes.
And what kind of dishes pair with rum? I honestly don't know.
Well, the first one we had was what they call like a cutter sandwich. So it was a beef burger, but it's all been, the beef's been marinated in rum. The onions have been cooked in rum. The whole thing's been cooked in rum. It's like a little sandwich. Then you go on to fish that's been cooked in rum. And then you've got salsa that's been cooked in rum, of course. You know, so you've got a different cocktail for that one as well. And then dessert. Well, dessert was like an upside down pineapple cake cooked in rum.
So this is the kind of tour you don't want to drive yourself to.
Absolutely.
No, but the beauty of Mount Gay is that they do offer, as part of the tour, transfers from your hotel.
Okay.
And you have to take it up because there's no way you're going to walk out of there straight legged.
It was well worth it. They weren't shy on rum. It wasn't single measure. But it was amazing. Some of these rums that we were getting to try were maybe 15 years old. Obviously, they have older rums, but they were they're very generous in the taste, the smells, they're explaining all of it. And so we felt quite connoisseurs after we came out of there.
It is a place, it sounds like, that you can go into if you, like me, don't know much about rum and come out learning a little more about rum, or at least caring more about rum.
Jane doesn't drink spirits. No, so
I don't drink rum or whiskey, but I came out of there having tasted a lot of rum that day.
What's one warning you would give about Barbados? You love the country, love the island, but you should know this.
The one thing we would say is that don't expect it to be a low-cost destination. It's an island. If you're going to go the self-catering route,
Okay.
It is expensive in the supermarkets. The fruit and vegetables aren't grown on the island anymore. They're actually imported by ship from St. Vincent, which is a small island close by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the warning at Christmas time is that that little ship closes down at Christmas time and has a two-week holiday, which means that by the end of the 2 weeks, Barbados is really short of fruit and vegetables. And most of the food is imported from the UK, so you've got a lot of Waitrose supermarket products, which are quite expensive.
Mm.
So don't go expecting it to be a cheap destination, because it's not. There's a lot of inclusive hotels there, so basically you know up front what you're actually going to pay for. But what we would actually advise on that one is don't spend 7 nights in the hotel eating the same food. Go out and explore and enjoy the cuisine.
Sure. You mentioned the locals. Can you think of one particular local that you had a chance to interact with that you really just wish everybody could meet?
If you engage a Bajan in a conversation, you will have an amazing experience. So go down to Oyston's at the fish market.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't necessarily suggest that they do the Friday night, and it's kind of on the tourist way thing to do.
Okay.
And it's kind of one of those things you kind of got to do it. It's not necessarily going to be the best experience, but you should do it, and you should enjoy the music and the whole ambience, because it's not just tourists, locals go there as well. And there's big partying and dancing to the early hours of the morning. But the fish that is provided for that comes from the Oyston's fish market, and that's when they bring in the fish from the trawlers that go out on each week, and they bring their catch in. But you could just go down there, go and ask for Sue. We kind of met Sue, and she became a friend of ours, and then the ladies who are looking after the fruit and veg. And you get to speak to them, and they are the ones that can tell you about the culture. They tell you about what's happening. That's how we kind of got to understand a little bit about crop over. We were a bit naive about it at that time. We didn't realize the importance of the festival, and she just described it to us. So our recommendation is meet the locals, engage with them, engage with the Bajans, talk with them, and you'll find them very, very open and very welcome.
What do you wish you'd known before you went?
We did a lot of research because we were going to be there for 3 months.
Right, sure.
And I think that we had it fairly well covered. And I don't think there was no surprises per se. I'd have to say that it was kind of more decayed than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
And that's maybe part of its richness in terms of characters. We'd just come out of Cuba, and that was kind of decayed. So then we hadn't expected it to be. But in that decayedness, there was certainly a lot of joy in the people and the folks. But I don't think there's anything specific that I can think of.
Okay. Before I get to my last questions, anything else people should know before they go to Barbados?
Certainly the weather. You don't want to be there right now. Yeah. Obviously, hurricane season, right?
Well, yeah.
So know the weather pattern, right? So know that.
Then also you've got your peak periods as well. So you've got your Christmas time and you've got your Easter time. The best time really to go would be between March, April, May. But then if you're going to go to crop over, which is July, August, you have to expect, you could be in that hurricane season.
Mm-hmm. Just the beginning of the hurricane season, really, at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think if they can do the research beforehand, because if it's about the beaches, that's not a problem. You've got it. It's going to knock it out of the park. But if there are people that are more interested in, say, trekking or walking in the hills, you've got an opportunity to do that. So there's a richness of opportunities to do just not going to the beach.
Okay.
If you're interested in history, there's a lot that you can do. If you're interested in food, there's a lot you can do. So you could pull together family holiday, a couple holiday, or a group of friends to come together. And within them, they could all have different things for them to be able to achieve what they do. And that could be catamaraning, it could be to trekking, it could be to safaris, to snorkeling, to whatever. There's plenty to do. So.
And you mentioned trekking, but we haven't talked about a trek you would recommend.
Well, we didn't actually specifically do anything, but what we did notice was that there was the National Trust have walking sites. So you can go to their site and you can pick up the suggested trails. And they've got very, very good trails and nominated walks, which gives you the amount of time that it takes, the difficulty, and what provisions and kind of footwear and packs that you should take with you, like hydration and water, etc.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Those are kind of ones that you can do on your own. So there, you can get a cab out to the areas, you can do them, and they kind of go around in circles and come back to the original point as well.
Well, and that brings up the question of resources to plan a trip to Barbados. Besides totravel2.com. Are there other websites that people should use if they're planning a trip there?
Well, certainly go on to barbados.org. Yeah. It's a rich site. It's a good site. It's got a lot of good content in there. They've done a very good job on that. And I would suggest go there.
Okay.
That will give you a lot of information.
Final wrap-up questions. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Barbados.
It's got to be the people.
It's the morning greeting to you.
They all say hello. So they always say, everybody says good morning to you. Have you ever been anywhere in the world where people always say good morning to you? So you kind of get unnerved because they say good morning. You go, oh, good morning.
And yes, I have actually. Large portions of the U.S. would be that way.
Yeah, really. Wow, it was just amazing. They're just so delightful and pleasant.
And, yep. And they do want people to come to the island because it's their lifeblood. Mm-hmm. They need the tourism. And I think this season with the hurricanes has probably sort of put the islands back, a bit. But they need the money and they need people to come and stay and visit.
Okay. If you're going to Barbados and you're going for a longer period of time, like 3 months, what should you pack because you can't get it in Barbados?
Coffee's expensive. Tea's expensive.
Okay.
So your day-to-day consumer package goods items that can go from toothpaste to anything that you would normally buy in your normal grocery, mm-hmm. you can expect to be paying triple the cost.
Mm.
So if you really like certain things and you're going for that period of time, take a suitcase and layer it.
Okay. And you're standing in the prettiest spot in all of Barbados. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I think Miami Beach.
Yeah, the beach.
Definitely. Miami Beach for us.
Okay. It sounds like we're in Florida. Where is Miami Beach in Barbados?
Southeast, just near Oyston's in the Christchurch Parish.
Okay.
Yeah, go down there just before sunset. Yep. Go and get yourself a rum punch or a Banks beer. Grab a local food.
Fish cutter.
Sit there on the bench, watch everyone play, and see the sunset go down. And that will be an experience that will cost you about $5.
And so Banks beer is a local beer?
Yeah.
And a fish cutter is a fried fish?
Yes.
Yeah, like in a sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay, I was guessing that from the context
here. Banks beer is the local beer. And
you can do a tour around the Banks beer brewery as well.
Yeah, that's a good tour.
So the things that are made locally are the beer and the fish are caught locally. So that's where we're going to find our better bargains.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Yep. Follow the locals.
Yeah, follow the locals. If you had to summarize Barbados in three words, what three words would you use?
Barbados is it's the people, it's the sun, and it's the rum.
Excellent. Did he do a good job there, Jane, or did you want to have your own three words?
I was wondering what that last one was going to be, but yeah, rum, I would say.
I mean, rum's cheaper than water.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Well, and if people are going to Barbados, what's the one post on totravel2.com that they really ought to read?
Okay, so if they go into totravel2.com and if they go in and they do what to do in Barbados, or if they actually go into the search bar and just key in Barbados, they get all the content associated with it, not just the big post. We have one mega post, which is what to do in Barbados.
Mm-hmm. And then you have 3 months worth of other posts.
And then there's a lot of the breakout ones. So if you want to know what to do for Mount Gay Tour or for the licorice, whatever, then you can get the finite details. But then there's the big post, which is what to do in Barbados, which has got a lot of information about the weather, about visas, how to get in, how to get out, what transit points and all that, all good information.
Excellent. And we'll link to that in the show notes so that people can find it more easily. Jane and Duncan, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with us your love for Barbados.
Thank you very much. That was an absolute pleasure. Great. Thank you, Chris. Fantastic. Thank you.
I announced it on the show last week, but in case you missed it, if you go to the amateurtraveler.com/trips private Facebook group, we're talking about the trips for both 2018 and 2019 to Central Europe. I've been saying Eastern Europe, but really Central Europe, and to Peru in that order. So check that out. Had a couple comments on the show that we did last week in Washington State. I think we had at least one person who wasn't impressed, didn't think that the Howards knew enough to talk about Washington. I'm not sure I agree. I think if you do the itinerary they recommend, you'll have a great time. But I did also hear from Robin who corrected something. We said Skagit on the podcast, and the name of that river and county in Washington is Skagit. Even though it's spelled with a G, it's pronounced with a soft G. Robin said, otherwise, great information and a good overview of Washington State's regions, climates, and sites. Thanks so much, Robin, and thanks for keeping us honest. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.